Speaking of movies, we know what this thing means. That's right, our dear friend from the Movie Guys, Mr. Paul Preston. Paul! How are you, buddy?
What do you think of that 90s reference?
I feel like
bringing the kids into the show.
Yeah.
What a reference.
Now, you're in Greece now, right?
No, sir. I am back.
You're back from Greece.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Look at
Greece
that.
Greece was the word. I've never been. It is a stunning place, especially the islands.
Oh, dude, you are so lucky, man. That is wonderful. That's one great trip, man.
It's all Mamma Mia all the time down there.
Ooh.
Ah, love it, love it, love it, love it.
Love those vibes. You
That's
break
great.
It into song.
Speaking of movies, so here's the idea I have for you. Use it, don't use it, whatever.
Yeah.
Shoot in 16:9, squeeze it to 4:3 just for Sean. That'll make him happy.
Oh, thanks. So all
Everybody
my scenes.
Looks
so
thinner.
So when the editor shoot goes just to me, then yeah, condense it down. Oh, I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah, just get the cinematographer from The Room. He'll do that. Between aspect ratios, when you're on screen. Yeah,
and get a longer lens so that way it's more further away. So yeah, I can look smaller and thinner.
Who am I hearing?
Oh, that strange voice.
There's a strange voice somewhere.
Steve Silva? Steve Silva.
How you doing, Paul?
Strange? Damn decent. How's about you, my friend?
I'm doing great.
How's about you?
Doing great. Doing a lot of nothing, but doing great.
And as far as I know, you look great.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, he has the face
And
very
we
well.
All know it's better to look good than to feel good.
But just remember this, though, Paul. Monday, he's going to even look worse because he'll be 73.
Oh, boy.
No!
Oh.
No!
God, that just sounds so weird. I don't know.
Hey, look, Harrison Ford is 80. I judge all things. And Eastwood is 91.
Yeah.
You know, or 92 probably by now. And Eastwood always said he just never let the old man in.
Ha.
So that's all you got to do. And you hang out with Steve, he wouldn't know it. He doesn't let the old man in. He acts as silly and perverted as he did when he was a teenager.
That's right. Exactly. Until you see him walk, then you know.
Well,
and then you go.
If you catch me on a good day, it's not too bad.
Hey, I just went to see The Who this week at the Bowl. I mean, what are they, like 75 and 77? They
Something
got it
like
done.
That.
Yeah, look at that.
They got it done big time. Still, you know. What do they call it? The windmilling, the guitars swinging the mic around. Like, you know, they're just not jumping as much, but still, you know, getting it done.
Exactly. Well, Paul, what movies are out there? What should we go see now, buddy?
If you want what you should see, there is a criminally underseen movie out there that is now, I think, not just in theater. It might not even be in theaters anymore. You probably just catch it online. It's called Bros. You've heard of Bros, Billy Eichner comedy that came out that nobody saw. And that is a shame because this is the funniest movie of the year, I think.
Oh,
and,
really?
Well, there's high
Have
there's
you
high
watched it, Casey? Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw Bros, and it's funny to, like, 10%. Sliver of the population.
Tell us how you really feel, Casey.
I'm that.
Yeah, it just, and if you're outside of that 10%, it's
Wait,
just
what's the 10%?
It's just cringe. Really gay.
Oh, okay.
Oh, come on. Yeah.
No, I mean laugh. Like for real, honestly.
So like, I probably like, fit.
Yes, for sure.
Oh yeah, the characters in the film actually talk about what I've been saying about gay cinema for years. It's just too sad. You know, stories of repression, homophobia, violence, all that, they need to be told, but that's it. Like, and all the while the characters are talking about that, they're making a film that is refreshingly not that.
Yeah.
So for me, I mean, look, if you're not laughing at the fake Hallmark woke movie titles, like Have a Holly Polly Christmas and the exhibits in the LGBTQA+ History Museum. Oh, I mean, these things are just hilarious. And the conversations they have around the table, you know, with one representative from each, you know, wing of the gay world. I mean, I thought it was hilarious. They never had a moment where they weren't trying to do a joke. And that's, that works for me. You got a neurotic podcast host with commitment problems. He meets a lawyer who likes to play the field, also with commitment problems. But they give things a go. So it's not a particularly wild plot, but it is a new setting for that. And within it, I think they just find tons of funny stuff to do. Now, the opposite side of the spectrum would be the other second funniest movie of the year, or giving an argument for funniest movie of the year, would be Jackass Forever. So it's kind of funny that the two movies I've seen this year I've laughed the most at are not remotely the same. Although Jackass, kind of gay, but still, you know.
Kind of gay. Has a little bit of gay sprinkles on it.
Yeah, they're definitely comfortable with each other.
Jackass Forever was also a special situation because, I mean, I hadn't been in a theater laughing with people in like 2 years when I saw that. I mean, to that extent, you know, the kind of was the, I don't know, I'd been to comedies in the theater, but they were never quite as packed. Jackass Forever was packed opening weekend, but, you know, just something about Spider-Man No Way Home for like the big time theatrical adventure back in the theater. Good. And Jackass Forever, the big time comedy back in the theater, which is great. But anyway, I just think Bros was not, and if you don't like those jokes, well, hey, it doesn't mean, I mean, if you don't get those jokes, I should say, or if they're not for you, it doesn't mean the movie isn't hilarious.
Right.
So
right.
If you think you would enjoy something like this, and it's a really sweet love story, I think.
Cool. So. All right. What's next, Paul?
Well, okay, so you asked me what I would recommend. I would also recommend Ticket to Paradise with Julia Roberts and George Clooney.
Oh,
again,
good.
you're not looking at anything that's particularly, you know, challenging here. You've got the man and his ex-wife go to Bali, Indonesia, to stop their daughter from marrying a seaweed farmer who she's gone off with after college and fallen in love with rather quickly. But they're really just leaning on the stars here to be charming. But they're doing it differently than a lot of other movies because they bicker, but the bickering's actually funny. Mm-hmm. To me, too often a script is lacking and they just lean on the stars to fill in the gap. Looking at you, Melissa McCarthy. McCarthy's hilarious, but man, give her a script and have her be funny. The problem is, I think they got a lot of scripts going her way that are not that great and just saying, she'll make something out of it. You know, she'll fall down or flip out or something funny. But here, the bickering's actually funny. And so, you know, speaking of Mamma Mia, this is from the director of Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. So you know the level of intensity you're going to get with Ticket to Paradise. But it is charming. And to boot, Julia and George, but you also have Caitlin Dever, who I think is one of the best young actresses out there today, also having fun in this movie as well. And she needs it after just killing it in Dope Sick, which was not fun, but she was so good at that. And so I think she's one of the best young actresses out there, and she has just fun playing silly romantic comedy.
One thing I was kind of curious about, because I know, you know, Julia and George are very good friends in real life. How was the chemistry on the screen, though?
Yeah, it worked fine. I mean, I know you have friends since like Ocean's 12, I guess, or even before then. I know they're in that together. But yeah, absolutely great. I mean, two stars, just starring it up. Yeah, totally works.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. What else should we go see, Paul?
Well, unfortunately, I have to report on another movie, but it doesn't mean you should go and see it. And that would be Black Adam.
I was wondering about this. A lot of critics didn't like it. What is wrong with this DC film?
Yeah, people don't like it either. But they're going to it because it's, you know, the big hyped up movie. It's got Dwayne Johnson that people like. But, you know, I remember when I saw the trailer, I said, oh, it looks like they've sapped all the personality out of The Rock. Bad call. Turns out that was a bad call. Let me read you the plot synopsis here.
Okay.
In ancient Kandak, Teth Adam was bestowed with almighty powers of the gods. After using these powers for vengeance, he was imprisoned, becoming Black Adam. Nearly 5,000 years have passed, and Black Adam has gone from man to myth to legend. Now free, his unique form of justice, born out of rage, is challenged by modern-day heroes who form the Justice Society. Hawkman, Dr. Fate, Adam Smasher, and Cyclone.
Mm.
There isn't even a plot in that.
Right.
Plot description. So, like, what's he doing? Why does he do it? Who is he trying to, what's he trying to gain or achieve? Like, and all that is just missing from this. I don't know why anyone in this movie is doing anything they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Even at the beginning, they're looking for this crown, which has these mystical powers from 5,000 years ago when Black Adam was, you know, before he was sort of imprisoned.
Mm-hmm.
They're like getting it because it needs to be in a safe place. Well, clearly nobody found it for 5,000 years. It's pretty safe. Like, and
right.
Then when they get it, then it falls in the wrong hands, and then we're in trouble. Like, this happens time and time again with them. Yeah, DC's just, they're flailing. You know, the worst part is I say to them, they're in a no-win situation now, because I always say to them, and I think I said it here with whatever their last movie was, just copy Marvel.
Right.
Marvel knows what they're doing. DC's like trying to copy them. I'm like, don't try. Just do straight up everything they're doing. And now they do that here. They do that here, and it's terrible. I'm like, I hate that too. You can't win. DC's is not going to win with me. So, yeah, they've got, you know, hey, look at Hawkman's jet. Well, it looks like a twin jet from X-Men. Yeah, well, look at this. Look at it flying over the city. It looks like Black Panther. Look at this guy, Dr. Fate. It looks like Dr. Strange, kind of has the same powers. Yeah, well, Adam's pretty cool. Looks a lot like Ant-Man. Like, it's just, nothing's interesting. Nothing's exciting. And they cram a lot.
One of my favorite reviews.
The thing is, I hate to, like, come on and crap on a movie. But when you spend this much, you know, I'm not going to crap on, like, an indie film. But, yeah, because I like to always say I love movies, but yeah. You know, so it is. But the negative reviews always are more entertaining. Aren't they?
Is at least the acting is at least the acting pretty decent in this, though?
Well, you know, Pierce Brosnan has the legend status and gravitas to pull off Dr. Fate. He's really good at that. Uh-huh. But again, The Rock, just when you take away all his charm, I mean, to me, that's the best part about him. I don't know if you ever saw Fighting with My Family.
Yeah,
that scene he has where he just rips the two young kids in half with his Rock character. I mean, this is like the greatest thing I ever saw. The other problem is it has an annoying kid problem. Now, this is something I thought we were done with 20 plus years ago with Anakin Skywalker, but whether it's that or Goldblum's daughter in the Lost World Jurassic Park, this is a decades old problem. We should be over it by now. We got the heroes doing adult shit, and a kid is there going, you should have a catchphrase. It's like nobody cares. I don't know. Get these kids out of the movies. I mean, I thought we did. But DC, of course, never wanted to like not have a bad they never saw a bad idea they didn't incorporate. Mm-hmm. They did it again. And The Rock is plagued with this, too. I don't know if you ever saw The Scorpion King, but there's a young kid in that movie, too, who does stupid stuff, gets right. everybody in trouble. Next thing you know, The Scorpion King is like, has to action scene his way out of whatever trouble the kid got in, and nobody cares about the kid. I mean, it's between this kid and Vin Diesel, these little kids are bugging all of The Rock's movies. So,
I was afraid to hear, you know, what your take on Black Adam was, because I'm really trying. You know, I'm a DC fan, and I'm really hoping that, you know, somewhere down the line, that DC is going to get their head out of their ass and, you know, try and do a really good movie. And so far, they haven't yet, you know.
I think it's the DCEU, because, you know, people like the Batman, people like Joker, people like Christopher Nolan's trilogy.
Right.
But it's this attempt to be Marvel and have an extended universe that they've just failed at. They should just go back to just mm-hmm. doing individual adventures, not try to cram so much into them.
Into the one thing.
You know?
Yeah.
Because the Justice Society of Hawkman, Dr. Fate, Atom Smasher, and Cyclone, it moves so fast. We don't really get to know who they are, you know. Any character who like
there's no development.
Has a sacrificial moment, you're like, I kind of cared,
right.
Not a ton, you know. And they introduce a lot of plot points very late, you know, like within the last 45 minutes. Oh, he controls the army of the dead. Oh, does he? Okay. Oh, and this guy did this on purpose because prophecy or whatever. And you're like, oh, is that a thing? Raiders of the Lost Ark, my favorite movie of all time, right? The CIA guys show up, they explain everything about how the Ark works, and off we go. You know, there's nothing like that happens 2 hours into Raiders where they go, oh yeah, also, you know, this is a thing. You set it up, and you just run with it. And this movie keeps introducing all this stuff late in the movie, and it's just confusing, and there's like a big reveal that doesn't mean anything. It's
That's too bad.
It's a shame they couldn't let the rock.
That's too bad. Now, I got a question for you, Paul. It's been a number of years since we've seen Avatar. Now the sequel is going to be coming out pretty soon. What is your take on that?
Did I come on here and talk about seeing Avatar 3D when they re-released it in September?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, because that's all it took for me to get hyped up again. I mean, that movie is something else. So yeah. I'm ready. You know, bring it. I mean, I think I said this then. Underestimate James Cameron at your own peril. The guy's got something up his sleeve that's going to knock everybody out, and this movie's going to be fantastic. I hear it is 3 hours, perhaps plus.
Oh, my gosh.
But he's never had a problem with pacing in the past, really, I don't think. I mean, even 3 hour and 20-minute Titanic, you're never sitting around going, geez, I wonder when something's going to happen. There was always something going on.
Right.
So I think that I don't think you should be scared of that that time you're going to put in watching this. I think he's going to jam pack it with story and action and, you know, myth and things we've never seen before in our life. You can count on that.
I've seen some scenes from it and stuff online, and it looks like the cinematography is going to be incredible.
Yeah, which is just crazy because it's all fake, right?
but it looks real.
Yeah.
The first one looks so damn good.
It's just, and there's some, it looks like, how do I explain it? It's like it's more detailed in that aspect, mm-hmm. in their interaction with the things on the planet.
Yeah. Cool. If Cameron didn't improve technology in the last 13 years, I mean, I would be shocked. So I can only imagine it's going to be much better. And they show a clip from the new movie at the end of the re-release. So there was like an extended undersea clip of what looks like Sam Worthington's, what's his character's name? I forget. His son swimming around and meeting some of the animals under the water, like giant whale type characters.
Oh, wow.
And it just looks amazing. You know, like the surfaces are tangible. The depth is believable. Like, I think it's going to be exciting. It's the movie of the end of the year here that's gonna be beat.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, Paul, we got to go right now, buddy, because we're gonna have Odds talking about us the World Series and everything. So thank you so much for coming on, as always, my friend. You always give us new insights on all the movies to go check out and see.
I mean, we're not rooting for the Phillies, but we're all rooting against Houston, right?
Yes, pretty much.
We're openly rooting for the Phillies.
I think that's the deal, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right, brother. Thank you so much, man. We'll talk to you next week, or actually next month, and maybe we'll do some Christmas film stuff.
Oh, yeah, a little holiday preview could be fun. All right, that is all. They never stop making movies, so this will always be fun.
Yay. All right, Paul, we'll talk to you soon, buddy. Take care.
Ba-ba-ba. Ba-ba-ba.